I will be reading the scripture passage from the NIV Bible, and if you want to follow along, you can find it on page 951 in the Pew Bibles. So please follow with me as I read Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 18. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used in his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That is the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault and in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Agnes. We worship together, and you know, some of us doing different parts, but let's remember we are worshiping together to God. So I prefer as many of you possible to participate in worship. So one of them, which now we have a few readers I'm excited about, so they'll take turn to read. And also we're recruiting like prayers and, of course, musicians and sound as much as you can. And if you're not doing any of those, don't feel guilty about it, because whenever there is an opportunity for you to participate, you can do that. So I just want to thank all of us who are involved in worship one way or another, and also encourage you to continue to do so. So we are going through now the book of Philippians. I thought this is a good time for just short summary of what we have learned so far. So Paul wrote this letter of Philippians, which is very personal and heartfelt, the letter, as a thank you letter for their faithful support, including the gift offering sent with Epaphroditus, one of their members, along with him. They sent this support when Paul was in the prison. And as a spiritual father and mentor, he took that opportunity to address some issues facing Philippian church. Even though he was in prison and the Philippians were struggling with many issues, Paul's focus is on the gospel, God's ongoing activity of redeeming all things through Christ, including his good work of salvation that he will be faithful to complete in the lives of Philippians and us. And from that perspective, that in spite of their imperfection and circumstantial struggles, Paul could thank God for them with a joyful affection of Christ Jesus. So he encouraged them to joyfully focus on Christ, the sovereign King who is active in the world and in our lives, on the contrary to what they're immediately experiencing. Encourage them to see that reality from the faith and gospel perspective. The same for us as well. And those who believe and worship Christ as Lord and King belong to the kingdom of heaven, although living in this world. And we are called to live out that kingdom citizenship according to the gospel values, not the values and glory of this world. So related to living out kingdom citizenship in the Christ, that is the sign. Paul highlights the sign of God's kingdom in church, in the Philippi and us. The sign is twofold, unity and holiness. So today's passage draw our attention to humility and holiness. Last Sunday was humility and unity. Humility is the basis of unity and holiness. And there is no better example of humility than Jesus Christ. With this, so we're going to enter today's message. So let's pray for Spirit speaking to us through today's text and us being open and able to listen. Lord God, help us to know your ways. Teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you are the God of our salvation. So for you and your word, we wait. We wait like dry land waiting for rain. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Have you heard of Theory U? This is a kind of thick book developed by MIT professor Otto Scharmer. So his basic premise is that in 21st century, these global issues of many kinds, environmental or political or social, the leaders need to take what is underneath all this more seriously than try to solve this above the surface. In the past, whenever there's issues, leaders will, okay, how are we going to tackle this? And just try to come up with a technical solution. But now, theory says that would not work well. For a healthier and for a more long-term solution, we need to go through intentional process in order to tap into the deeper sources of creativity and cooperation. So he calls this process U process, and he develops a systematic change theory based on that. So just to explain a little bit simpler, let's say a group or organization are in this situation. Now they are looking ahead their future. So now they want to get there, but they don't know how. So they're trying to figure out how to get from A to B. Temptation will be, well, let's just work on something is visible, something sort of we can put our hands on and try to solve it this way. So it's kind of going typical way. But theory U says, in order to get to the B where it will be more lasting and more meaningful and more participatory, that people will kind of like, yes. So it's not just top down and only a few people decide and this is what we're going to do, but everybody feel like I am part of that process. Then U process encourage the group, especially leaders and the organization, to go down. That's kind of counterintuitive, because go down means it's unknown path. We don't know what to expect here because we cannot see. But theory U says as a group, as an organization, take this route, somehow this group or organization will be on this side where they hope to see, to be. So that's the kind of basic premise of the theory U. So dealing with issues beneath the surface. I think this makes good sense in light of realities of most groups, including families, companies, institutions, and societies. If you haven't heard of theory U, maybe you heard of iceberg principle, right? Iceberg theory. As with an iceberg, only its tip is visible, while the bulk of it is below the water's surface, thus invisible. So many situations and phenomena are similar. So most of the data is hidden. So many groups ended up not dealing with what's underneath the surface, sinking like Titanic, because the leaders focus on what's above the surface and not prepare to deal with what's underneath. And to deal with what's underneath, groups need to go down, not up. So theory U says the deeper you go underneath the surface, the more your organization and group come out ready for the future. Although it's not an explicitly Christian theory per se, I think he adopted this from the Bible. I think because it reflects the movement of Christ and his followers' life. So direction of following Christ is downward first. You know, both Old Testament and New Testament teach this truth very clearly. What? If you humble yourselves, God will exalt you. But if you exalt yourself, you'll be humble. Our natural tendency is actually upward. We focus on what's visible on the surface, and actually we value each other based on what is on the surface. That's the worldly point of view. And we exalt what's visible on the surface. But let us remember, in Christ's kingdom, the movement forward is downward first. And Christ himself demonstrate that. So verses 16, 11, that's very well-known passage. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So here, Jesus, being God, but emptied himself to be a man. And not only just becoming a man, he went to the cross and died. From the highest to the lowest. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that's Jesus that we serve. That's Jesus we worship. And this passage actually was a poem or hymn that Paul was quoting, or maybe Paul might have written himself. This is a poem or hymn. Imagine the early Christians just memorize and just sing together. Not for us, but maybe we can just sing this fairly well-known song. He is Lord, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. That's our confession. Every knee and every tongue, including the emperors, including those who oppose and those who persecute God's church. At the end, all those knees will bow down before the name of Christ. Every tongue will confess He is Lord. Now, that is the basis of the second part for our text today, verse 12 to 18. Because he started, therefore, because of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done, now we need to respond. We need to live out our faith in this way. We must understand, first of all, not as individual earning salvation. When we heard the word, continue to work out your salvation. As if, oh, I thought salvation is freely given. No, now I have to earn it. I have to give myself to get it. That's not what it meant. It means you need to take this, what Christ has done, seriously enough, with utter seriousness, that we ought to live out our salvation collectively and ethically in our life. Yes, God saves each one of us one by one. It's not like, you know, mass, just everybody at the same time, one by one, personally. But he saved us into his people, and he makes us as his holy, set apart people. And that's a part of salvation, not separate or additional deal. So he then, in that process of becoming holy, he just doesn't leave us alone. Okay, now you figured out how to be, you know, holy. No, he's the one who wills and encourages us, empowers us in that process. However, when we go through that process of working out our salvation, it may feel like going through a harsh desert or even under a deep, treacherous valley. It's not an easy path. Going down is not easy. That's why our tendency or impulse is going up, because that seems safer. Going down is unknown, and it's counterintuitive and countercultural. So temptation, well, that's what Christ did, so well, we have no choice but to, let's just go to that path. Just like the Israelites in the desert after Exodus, right? All right, now we are out of Egypt. Now we are heading to the promised land. So we have to go through this, the wilderness. Did they do well? No. If you read the Exodus, God was with them, accompanied them, and God provided their needs along the way. But they're still grumble, right? They still complain, and they still argue with Moses and each other. That's the temptation. That wasn't somehow enough for the people. They didn't realize God's purpose was to make them his holy people through the whole process of crossing the Red Sea and passing through the desert. And through this, they will become blameless and pure in order to display God's glory to the world. And the same was expected for Philippians, and the same is expected for us. So as we go through this crossroad process of discernment for our church, let's remember God's calling for us is this unity and holiness as his people on this earth. And God wants us to be united as his holy people, set apart from the world. Then, remember, it requires each of us to take downward direction, following the example of Christ. And it takes humility and trust and faith. I remember a story of a young boy who was afraid of dark and the basement of his house. And one day he woke up from the nap, and then he was looking for his dad. Dad, where are you, Dad? I'm here. Where? Guess where he was? Basement. Oh, he was afraid of going down. In spite of his fear of dark and the basement, because he wasn't sure what's down there. But he went down because he knew who's down there. I thought that's our story too. Like that boy being afraid of the dark. We too, we don't want to go down there. We don't want to deal with the issues underneath the surface because of the fear. Because we don't know what's down there. And it may require of us letting go of our control and know-hows and our preferences. We may be tempted to take an easier and more familiar route above the surface. Then we may miss out God's invitation to go deeper with him and with each other. But what if our Heavenly Father is there waiting for us to heal us and make us blameless and pure? And it's not just our church going through this discernment process. Think about it. The principle is the same for families and individuals who face our own crossroads in our life. So hear his voice of calling. Humble yourself and take the downward path of humility and faith. And I'll be there to heal you and renew you and take you to the higher ground where you can see clearly your path forward. And let us joyfully follow the footsteps of our Lord Jesus as we face our individual and family and church future. But as we decide, following the steps of Jesus, go downward of humility and faith, then let's trust that God will be not only there to meet us, and he will take us again, the following the footsteps of Jesus to the place of glory, but not our glory. Place where we're going to testify God's glory and his goodness because we chose to follow him and we experience he's taking us to the next place. Let us pray. I want to just give us a few moments with this question. Is there any area of our life that God is calling us to let go of our control and go under the surface these days? And what did you hear today? Spirit of promise, Spirit of unity, we thank you that you are also the Spirit of renewal. Renew us in the whole church, the passionate desire for the coming of your kingdom, which unites all Christians in one mission to the world. May we all grow up together into him who is our head. Lord, we commit ourselves individually, as families and church, facing unknown future. We, by your power and grace, resist the temptation to take the easier route that we can control, that we can, Lord, just somehow put our hands on. Lord, we want to open our hands. We want to open our hearts to you. Acknowledge that you are the King and you are God. As you lead us, that's the best route that we can take. Although it may feel like we are out of control, but you are. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you for our future. In the name of Savior of the world. Amen.